When the wine had run out, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to him, "They have no wine." In the name of Jesus, Amen. So the location is Cana of Galilee. And this is the first, literally, sign of Jesus. We refer to it as a miracle. But it is the first sign that we see that Jesus is different, that he is God in the flesh, and that he works his first miracle to increase people's gladness and joy. But to our culture's dismay and shock, they cannot believe that he is rejoicing at a marriage. And by extension, he is rejoicing in family. And by extension, he's rejoicing in the everyday vocations that you and I inhabit as people of God. Therefore, marriage is good. Motherhood is good. Fatherhood is good. Children, when they are given, are a blessing. And honest labor that you do with your hands and your feet and your mind, etc., that you do for your daily bread each and every day, is good, even though it can sometimes be quite difficult. But Jesus wants us to know and to live in these estates of church and community and civic/governmental life, and to know that this is a blessed and holy life, despite what our culture and the devil and our sinful flesh says. And I really think that this is a good lesson for all of us, and especially the young of our day. Because too often their eyes and their ears are filled with voices and images that say that such estates are drudgery, or that they are no fun, or literally they are a good way to ruin your life. So, what do? They despise and avoid these things like the plague. But Jesus says, no, this is good. It is good that a young man should court a young woman and that they should marry. It is good that a father would stay in the home and guide his family in the fear and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And he raises his children in the narrow paths of the Holy Word. Likewise, it is good that a mother provides for her children with food and drink, washes and bathes them and reads them and trains their mind and their behavior, and gives her life in sacrificial love for their good and their well-being. Neither shall husband or wife, father or mother, or anyone who is carrying out a holy estate think that they are frittering their life away, but rather they should know that they are engaged in a holy and godly vocation. As Christians, therefore, we in no way regard the domestic life with contempt or denigrate it as unholy or a waste of time. Martin Luther would say that here we see that our Lord himself at this wedding at Cana, that he attends a marriage. Indeed, this applies not only to the wedding, he says, but to the whole business of maintaining a family. God wants family life esteemed. But we do not live in Eden anymore. And so living in these blessed estates will not be, as you well know, quite painfully, without their crosses, their tribulations, their times of physical and emotional distress. For Mary says, when the wine has run out, to her son, yet her Lord, they have no wine. I think that these words speak to the truth of our lives that we know, but often sometimes don't want to acknowledge. But there comes a day when the wine gives out, that the glass is empty, that it is certainly true that the honeymoon is over, and that raising kids isn't as simple as reading them a bedtime nursery rhyme anymore. It's far more complicated. And many other things are complicated as we get older. And on that day, life seems very empty or dry or without any vibrancy or vitality. And there are no seedlings of joy, and our world and our life seem very colorless and bleak and bitter. I think that the narratives here are countless when you consider them. It might be that the day death took one of your loved ones, or the loss of a friendship, or the severing of a marriage, or it might be the day that we gave up looking for love, or for a place where we mattered, or we felt like we fit in the world, or we sought to have children, but it never came. It could be a day that we remember when guilt or regrets rolled about our minds. The day the wine runs out is often a day, I think, of fear and failure and of self-doubt. It often describes a day where there is a desire and a longing for something that we cannot name or describe, but we know that we need. To be sure, the day that this wine runs out is not always days in the past. It could often be a present nightmare that one is living through, or a future fear that is always looming just below the horizon. Because despite our best efforts and all of our hard work, the wine of our life is always giving out. No matter how often we refill our glass, the glass empties into something that we had hoped it would not. There is literally never enough wine. As the day wears on, we become increasingly aware that we cannot refill or replenish the wine from our own strength. Too often, though, we live with this illusion of self-sufficiency. This illusion, however, is shattered when the wine runs out. On the day when the vibrant water jars are empty and there is nothing to drink. And that day, it confronts us with an ancient yet present truth. We are recipients of life. We are not the creators of life, nor, mind you, the sustainer of life. God never expected us to be responsible for the sufficiency of our own life by way of our own resources. If that were so, He would have never sent His bridegroom to His bride, you, the church. So regardless how it feels the day that the wine ran out, it is nonetheless, as we hear today, the beginning of a greater sign of which Jesus is going to do. For Jesus is not just going to simply refill our glass and then walk away. He's going to transform our life, and He's going to turn a ton of water into a ton of wine, causing joy to abound, as the scriptures would say, our cup to runneth over forever. And He does this in the most unusual way. There are only two places that Mary, the mother of our Lord, is found in the Gospel of John. The first is here at the wedding at Cana. And the second place is in John chapter 19 at the crucifixion of Jesus. And as you know, as Jesus hangs on the cross, He leaves Mary, and He gives Mary into the keeping of His beloved disciple, whom we know to be John. But here's the question: when in Scripture is it that it says that a man shall leave his father and mother and become one flesh to his bride. You know, in Genesis, at marriage, when the man is getting married. So Cana's wedding, this is a first great sign that foreshadows a much greater sign that Jesus is going to do. And that is the sign of Calvary. Calvary, you see, is a marriage. Crucifixion of Jesus is a marriage. Think about it. When God instituted marriage, he gave it as a sign, which St. Paul says is of a greater mystery of the union between Christ and the church. In the first Eden, he caused that first man to fall asleep into a deep sleep, and from his side was fashioned woman, and she became his bride. So now in the new Eden, Jesus falls into death, into a sleep of death, and from his side flow water and blood. And from that water and blood, what does God do? But he fashions a bride for the bridegroom. And that is you, the church. The new Eden begins, ironically, on the day that this blood wine was poured out for us. That this blood wine that forever fills us now with the joy of an enduring life. Mysteriously then, as I thought about it, the day that the wine ran out is also the day that you receive the wine that shall never run out. Here is your fountain of eternal life. You, the bride of Christ, are born anew in the washing of the water and the word, and also nourished by the bridegroom's blood that he gives you in the sacrament of the altar. And so the ultimate renewal of wedding vows, if you want to think about renewal of vows, and those particularly who feel more attacked by way of the sinful flesh, the world, and Satan in their relationships and vocations, are to receive the Lord's Supper together. For Calvary, after all, is the wedded love of Christ for his bride, is it not? So for a husband to renew his love for his wife, and a wife to renew her love for her husband, is to receive Holy Communion together. Even more, it is the wedding supper of all of God's children, regardless of your marital status, whether you're single or you're divorced, etc., or you're married. It is the Lamb being joined as one flesh to all of his precious sheep that he has bought, the bridegroom coming for the bride. Every time you drink this wine of gladness at the supper, your life is changed. From error, you are led into truth. From out of sin, you are now clothed with righteousness. Out of death, you are now given indestructible life. On the day that the wine runs out, Jesus is always there to give you more and more and more. For by his supper, the days of sorrow are at least eased, if not turned into joy. The days of despair are at least lightened, if not turned into hope. And even the day of death is grieved not without hope, but with hope, even as that is a day of new birth into heaven. So in the Holy Supper, in the heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ, he comes to you, his bride, the church, and he unites himself to you that you might live in his life. Remember, he took our own flesh from Mary in order to carry our sins to death. And then he places into our mouths the wine of gladness, his flesh and his blood, in order to bind us as one flesh to him in his death and his resurrection. so that as He died, we died, and as He has risen, so we shall live and reign with Him in eternity as He has. So the miracle, the sign at Cana, is a continuous miracle of the joy of the Holy Supper as it is offered every Sunday or every time you come here to receive it. It is the promise that the day that this wine runs out is also at the same time the day that the wine is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. That the day that your life was broken, was buried by loss or grief or tragedy or trauma, it is by this Holy Supper that it's created anew and that you are strengthened to live each day. A day where you eat and you drink, and as you eat and you drink, you long with your eyes to see that which you only confess by faith. The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. A day where the wine of gladness streams forever from this slain yet risen Lamb, Christ Jesus. Because He alone is the true winemaker of our life and of our hope and our confidence that one day will dawn when the wine will never dry up and we will never be called desolate and we will never be forsaken. For we shall be called married and our land married. For we will be married to the Lamb forever, whose kingdom shall have no end. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.